Welcome to the Nick and Marthy Hour. So it's Nick and Marthy for an hour.
And oh, yes.
I'm Marthy and this is Nick.
Hello.
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 I'm back on. I'm so happy. I couldn't make the last one.
You're back on the podcast and we've changed the title just to suit me and you being on it.
Exactly. That's how much you love me.
That's how awesome you are.
You love the bacon. You love the sizzle.
It's the Canadian bacon.
Damn straight. That's what we should call it. The Canadian bacon edition.
The Canadian bacon show.
Canadian bacon and Australian. I don't know. What would I
say? You could say the Canadian bacon with the chick from Down Under.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Maybe sounds that's dirty. What we'll change it to. So, our special hour together, we're going to discuss some movies. We're going to review a few movies that we've seen recently. And we will start off with Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1.
Damn good flick.
I agree.
Like, and as somebody who has not read the books, I'd say it was probably, I mean, the last film was a tad disappointing. It was a little slow, but
yeah, I tend to agree.
No. What's that?
I said I tend to agree there with The Half-Blood Prince. It was, for me, it just seemed a little bit on the boring side, whereas the book was something I just could not put down. I think I read that in 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it translated like that to film. But this one definitely translated well, I thought.
Well, that's the thing. And I spoke with, you know, one girl who, you know, she, huge fan of the books. And even she said, wow, they're really following the book on this one. I mean, it's not perfect to, you know, to a T, but, close enough that it's going to thrill a lot of people.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't really care because I haven't read the books and I don't plan on really reading
it. For the movies, as long as they can give it, like, a storyline that someone can follow who hasn't read the books. And I think that's what they've done, at least with the last one, really well. Or at least
well, they succeeded with me, so I'm happy.
Yeah. So just looking at, say, the movie series, not so much the book series, did you have a favourite character out of all the movies besides, say, the typical main three characters?
What, like Dobby?
Yes, like Dobby.
Dobby the house elf? No. If I had to name a favorite, see, I didn't become a real fan of the movies until, funny enough, like most people, the third movie, Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yeah.
I thought it took a very, like, I used to be so bored by the movies. I actually fell asleep during the first one at one point when I was in high school. I was like, I'm never going to get into it. Funny, I fall asleep during that, eh?
Hey.
But, oh, yeah. I'm
it's about as interesting as Bede.
Oh. I fall asleep during Bede. Whenever Bede speaks, I'm only kidding, Bede. You're the man. You're the terrible Australian. But, I'd have to say, other than Gary Oldman as Sirius Black, who's fantastic, I wish he'd pop up more. I'd have to say that my favorite character, the one that entertained me the most, the one that I laughed, that I friggin' just got a thrill out of, was Brendan Gleeson as Mad-Eye Moody.
Yeah, like in the books as well, Mad-Eye is a great character, and I thought they did like just an amazing job at just bringing that character to life and so well, and he was just the perfect person to play Mad-Eye.
Well, I give it to the casting of the films because so far they've been absolutely, I mean, I haven't read the books, so I can't really give a solid opinion on it, but so far they've been spot on finding the best people to play the best characters. Like, who would have thought that Kenneth Branagh, like, could play the Sir Gilderoy Lockhart, you know, and he just played it so perfectly. Ralph Fiennes as Voldemort. It's just amazing casting all around. And, I mean, everybody wants to be part of the series. You had Bill Lee, who was in the, you know, the last one. It was a very short role. unfortunately, but I don't know if the Minister of Magic has more to do in the final book, but...
not that I remember too much, so, you know, that's obviously one of the things that just went over my head when I was reading it, so I didn't really pay that much attention.
No, I guess you wouldn't, but yeah. But yeah, I definitely have to say Mad-Eye, for sure. I just loved his... When I saw The Goblet of Fire in the theater, that was the first Harry Potter I saw in the theater. So I absolutely loved it, and his character. I mean, I love Brendan Gleeson. I wish he did more, but yeah. What would be your fave?
Sirius Black from in the books, he became an instant favorite. But then, like in the movies, it just him coming to life was amazing, and Gary Oldman was the choice, I think, to play him. Because I just, yep. I don't think it would have worked to the extent that it worked if it wasn't him. Yep. Just unbelievable. And that's, I would assume people listening would probably have seen at least the other movies, but I really can't watch the end of The Order of the Phoenix without just completely losing it. And as a matter of fact, when I read the book, I pretty much destroyed the book when I got to the end.
When you found out?
Well, yeah, when I got to that part, I knew it was going to happen because the ending had been spoiled for me, and I just almost ripped the book to pieces when I got to that part. So.
I will tell you, at this point in the film series, you know, with the second part on the way, it... I don't think I've ever felt so much hatred toward a character. One character that I'd just love to see thrown into a giant meat grinder than Bellatrix Lestrange.
Oh, like, she is my most hated character ever.
I hope someone fucking twists that bitch's head right off.
I'm not sure how they'll go about it in the next movie.
Oh, I know. And, like, I'm hoping it... If any, you know what? I don't even care what happens to Voldemort. I just want someone to kill that bitch, and I'll be satisfied. I will be the happiest man alive just to see someone kill her.
Yeah, I completely hate her so much. And I gotta say, Helena, can't pronounce her name.
Helena Bonham
Carter does a really great job at playing her.
Oh yeah, she's great at it.
I gotta say, it's probably one of the best things she's done recently that I've seen her in. Anyway,
I still want to see The King's Speech.
Yeah, well, that's only new, and God knows when that'll ever come out here.
Yeah, it won't. Even though they pretty much figure it's Colin Firth's time to take home the Oscar. But how many times have they said that?
Goodness knows.
He's like quickly becoming the Meryl Streep of, you know, the most losses, but
pretty much. We'll find out.
So yeah, but Harry Potter was 7 was just absolutely fantastic. The one thing, and everyone's been talking about, that is really amped up is the acting.
Yeah, the acting is definitely probably the best that it's been, mainly from Daniel, Rupert, and Emma.
Rupert, in particular, to be honest with you, he really sold it for me, especially when you know, the three of them are starting to get a little uncomfortable together, and you know, it's things are turning bad, and you know, it was really a point where, like, wow, I fucking legitimately buy that these three are pissed at each other.
Yeah, and there's you know, there's that tension between, like, Ron and Hermione.
That sexual tension,
yes. And it's just really so much more evident in this movie, more so than the previous one.
Well, she hates him. That means she wants him. Isn't that usually the case?
Pretty much.
She wants him to grow up so she can, you know, think more of him.
Yeah.
Very, very dark film, and it keeps, you know, a lot of people are complaining, wow, there are no lighthearted moments in these films anymore. And to be honest with you, I'm happy about that. because it means we're all coming to a big payoff.
Yeah, well, they're not kids anymore, and I don't think they've really been kids' movies
since the third one,
and especially with so many like really kind of scary moments in this movie.
Mm-hmm. And, there are a lot of loud. Bah!
There are a lot of jump scares, and when I first saw it, I was kind of like jumping in my seat a little bit.
One scene did make me jump, and I'm involving a reptile creature. I'll just put it that way.
Yes.
Where I was like, "What the fuck?"
But they still kind of kept like the Harry Potter, I guess, mood with little like light-hearted, funny moments.
Actually, I think one of the funniest, other than the Goblet of Fire, I think this was probably the funniest of them all. There's a lot of genuinely funny moments.
Despite how dark it is, there are some moments that were really funny. I pretty much lost it when there was a scene where one of the twins, I can't remember which one it was now, walks in on Harry and Ginny, and he's got like a toothbrush sticking out of his head, and he's just giving them these looks.
And he picks up his coffee.
He gets the coffee. Oh, classic. I loved it.
Those two have always remained like so funny.
Yeah, and they are so perfect because in the books they are like just these two outrageous characters.
And oh yeah. And they really bring them. You know, and they never overstay their welcome in terms of funny.
Exactly.
You know, but I think the whole movie though was all about the ending. I'm not gonna shy away from it. I'm not ashamed to say it. I teared right up. It was pretty bad.
Which ending part do you mean without giving too much away?
The certain passing of a character.
Yes. Even I got a little bit emotional.
I know. And I'm not giving any clues.
And I kind of was. I was a little bit, when I read the book, but it was more so with, like, on the screen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, like, I was like, I was pretty much, I never thought, never in the series had I, you know, gotten that so, you know, I was so upset. I was like, I was ruined, and very few movies have ever done that to me, because I love this character, and I always have from the beginning. And
I've never liked the character. That's just going to give it away as to what we're talking about. Whoops.
I'm not going
to
go any further than that, so. Yes.
But I guess, like, I'm really looking forward to seeing the second part, but knowing what happens as well, and I know I'm going to be a mess when I try and watch it. It's going to be it's going to destroy me pretty much.
Oh, I hear you. I'm so looking forward to the second part. I can't believe we still got to wait till next summer.
Yeah, I know. It's a long wait, but you know, once that happens,
biggest movie ever.
Once that happens, I'm just going to be completely destroyed because it just will officially mark Harry Potter being over. No more movies, no more books. It's ended, man.
As far as we know, yeah.
I know I'm gonna be like a complete mess.
No, I hear you. But yeah, it should be interesting in the end, and hopefully we'll still get a chance to see Emma Watson naked. But I don't foresee any possibility in the near future, but what can you do?
No.
That woman is good looking. I love the short hair. I don't give a shit what anybody says.
I like it. I think she can pull it off really, really the woman, well.
Well, you got to think of it from her perspective. She had, you know, she had to sign a contract that for 10 years, you know, for the last 10 years, she hasn't been able to change her hairstyle because of the movies.
Once it's over, she can do whatever she wants. It's all good with me.
And while I have a bit of a buzzed head as well, so I can understand why I would like it.
Well, I do remember I went through a stage where I had all my hair cut off, and it was really short like hers.
Really?
Yes. Although at the time I was like 13. It was 13 at the time, so I was quite young. But I kept that hair for about 2 years, short.
Yeah. I'm pretty much just my dad. Like, we're not balding at all, but I don't know, just long hair does not suit either of us. We just don't have the face for it.
Well, I love my long hair now, so I'm going to keep it long for as long as I can.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
God, my dog farted again. Goomba.
What are you feeding that dog?
I don't know, but now he's looking at me with like this. Can we go outside? Can we go on a, you know, I don't know.
I think it must be his pug side.
Oh, it is. Absolutely. This the beagle side of him would not be doing this.
No.
We'll go out after. But, So that was one movie. What else did you see recently?
Even though the movie's been out for a while, it only just started here yesterday, but I had a preview screening that I won tickets to. That was Devil that I saw.
That was a good show. Saw that a couple months ago.
Yeah, see, it's been out everywhere, and it's only just come out here.
Yeah. Oh, did it just come out?
Yeah, it was a preview screening that I went to.
Nice. That was a scary flick. I actually, I'm glad I didn't listen to the critics, because I think they were wrong on it.
What was the critic reaction? Because I'd only heard mostly positive things from people about the movie.
No, actually, like, I think it was, like, in the rotten, you know, percentage, like, on Rotten Tomato. Like, I don't think a lot of people did like it. Like, they were just slamming it for, I think it was kind of half and half.
I think the M. Night thing might have had a lot to do with it, to be honest.
Well, shit, it's, like, every time I saw the trailer, you know, pop up on the, you know, before a movie preview, like, everybody in the theater would just piss themselves laughing as soon as they see his name.
Yeah, everybody be like, oh yeah, this looks good. Then they see his name.
Ugh. It's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
I mean, like, when I went to see it, there was, like, nobody, almost nobody in the theater.
Well, for the screening, it was half full. But I don't know how many tickets they gave away and how many people actually accepted the tickets.
True.
You know what I mean?
But, I think it deserves another chance. So I hope it has a better following when it hits DVD and Blu-ray. Because, like, fuck, it was such a great story, and it had really smart characters. And I was really impressed by it, especially the hero of the story, the cop.
Mm-hmm.
Who answers to the elevator call. I just thought he was fantastic, and I just loved, you know, it was brutal too.
Like, it's like when the movie opens and everything's like upside down, I was actually like getting really dizzy.
That was really well done.
I'm like, why are they doing this to me? I was like getting all like, ugh, I'm going to like pass out.
You understand
out.
The significance of that though, right? Or...
Well,
like the upside down cross.
It's kind of like, yeah.
Because that's supposed to be the symbol for the devil.
Yeah, but the way it was just, I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna be sick.
It was. I agree with you. That was pretty. That was a ballsy move for the cinematographer. But I like you. I thought it was kind of nauseating.
Mm.
But it was very cool, so I forgive it.
It was something different, but it was kind of like the way certain things were done in Inception, and I was like, a little bit with that as well, just because the way it looks, and it was just bomb. Like doing my head in
bomb.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
But I like the movie anyway. I thought it was interesting. I like the devil concept.
I did too. There. I just loved the way it was played out. The pacing was fantastic.
Mm.
And, you know, I was actually genuinely surprised to find out who it was in the end.
As soon as they walked into the lift elevator, I said to my friend, this person is the devil. Come to the end of the movie, I was right. I just had a feeling from the beginning and I just knew who it was. I had not read anything, and I promise I hadn't read a thing about it as to who it was. I just knew straight away.
I thought it was this person as well, but part of me was kind of hoping they were going to be a little more daring and say that the devil, in fact, was not anyone in the elevator. It was someone watching the elevator. It was like one of the security guards or, you know, somebody else, which I'm not saying it isn't for those listening, but, you know, it's something I would have done. It's like, you know, this whole time, the devil was never among them. He was watching, but he wasn't one of them. I thought the deaths themselves were pretty fucking brutal.
I liked how a lot of things were done in the dark or we couldn't see, and then you see what happens after. I think it had a better effect.
Oh, it did, and like it was just more really horrifying, the fact that when those lights come on, you have no idea what you're going to see.
And it just, like, it had a lot of, like, psychological elements with just being trapped in the elevator, not knowing what's going on.
I didn't feel that. I mean, I don't really have any form of claustrophobia at all, but
I meant, like, for the characters, not for me, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, the characters were going through was good.
Shamefully, though, I was standing there hoping, you know, hey, there's that, I don't even know the guy's name. He's pretty much become the guy who's married to Christina Hendricks.
Yeah, I forgot his name.
I don't know his name. He'll always be the guy who's married to Christina Hendricks.
I don't know. On IMDb, it doesn't have their character names.
Doesn't it?
Jeffrey something
is the guy. I don't think their names are ever even, well, some of them are.
They do, but on IMDb, it just has what their job is.
Yeah, exactly. Good show, though.
Yeah.
And I thought it was pretty freaky at the end when the devil is finally revealed.
Yeah, I thought it was, there's little things which kind of is a bit of a spoiler if I talk about them. Some things, like, at the end that I didn't really like, but other than that, I thought it was pretty good.
Come on, Marcy, spoil it all, because everybody spoils you for, like, The Walking Dead and all the episodes that come up.
Well, it really just gives away everything, so it's not really fair to talk about it.
I haven't been reading anything, so I don't even know anything about The Walking Dead.
Well, I don't mean The Walking Dead, I mean the movie.
Yeah.
If I mention what it is, it's pretty much a massive spoiler, so I shouldn't say anything, but they're just thing, like, just, I think, kind of what the message was. I just thought it was a bit silly, but whatever.
Yeah, and I know where you're going with that. The whole, the overall message of to this character at the end of the movie. And, yeah, I thought the ending was a little bit, you know, tad corny, but it, I don't know. Yeah, everything up to the last 10 minutes I thought was pretty definite.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I knew that somehow everything was meant to be connected, and it was, but it wasn't in the way that I thought that it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good surprise.
And that's the thing I love the most about the movie. It wasn't necessarily, you know, what was happening to the people in the elevator. It was more why, you know, the cop was looking for a connection between all these people. What is it about these people that has brought them together on this day, you know? And I love that side of the story, and it's so well explained. And I don't know, I just thought it was a really entertaining, well thought out flick.
And as you said before, the guy that played the cop was really, really good.
He was, and I loved how smart he was. And it's something, you know, you don't find in many horror movies nowadays, a smart fucking character who knows what he's doing when he gets to a situation, you know. And
yeah, I mean, he had a very, like, sad story, but I thought he played it all really, really well.
Yeah.
He looked so familiar, but I can't really remember what what it was I saw him in that sticks out.
I can't remember. Can't remember.
I'm trying to look was. Like look up movies I've seen, like might have seen him in. I think I might be remembering him from Julie and Julia as Julie's husband. I think possibly. That's why I remember. And I also thought that, like, in the, as far as, like, the actual elevator people go, my favorite character in there was, shit, I can't remember his name, the like, engineer mechanic guy.
Oh, the guy, the younger guy?
Yeah, the guy. The
blonde-haired guy or whatever?
Like, the guy with, like, the, well, if I was to say, I'd say he was the good-looking one in there.
Oh, okay.
The good-looking one.
Yeah, the one who, the one who's good-looking. But
he had like a hoodie on at the start.
Yeah,
he had a tie.
Kinda, you look at him in the trailer, and he kind of looks like, he's mysterious. He might be the one.
Yeah, I
it's
really
too bad Al Pacino didn't pop up. You know, he could have been the devil.
Yeah, I mean, like, just out of everyone, I thought he was probably the best actor in the elevator, and I just thought he was the most interesting one.
Oh, yeah, I agreed.
And I don't know if he still is, but I know that he was going out with Marissa Tomei.
Bastard.
So, yeah, she's like a cougar now, because I think he's not that old.
God, I always forget how old she is.
Yeah, I think there's at least, like, a 13-year age gap between those two.
Like I said, lucky bastard.
I'd say lucky both of them. Because she still looks good and he's hot.
That woman is... Oh, that woman is something else.
And one last thing about Devil. I was trying to remember who the director was. And he directed the Poughkeepsie tapes. Which...
Yeah, it was actually two guys who directed... the movie. I think it was, I'm pretty damn sure it was two guys.
No, it was just one, but, I think it was, brothers that, or he had a brother that wrote movies with him with like Quarantine and I think the Poughkeepsie tapes as well.
Quarantine. That's what I was trying
to
think.
Maybe
of.
That's what it was. I thought he did it on his own, but it was two brothers or something that wrote the movies. But
Yeah. I'm looking at it now. Yeah, John Eric Dowdle.
But I haven't seen Quarantine, but I saw the Poughkeepsie tapes, which I thought was like quite a good movie, but I think it just hasn't had much of a release, which is a shame. Because it's definitely one of the better like horror movie mockumentary types to come out recently.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I agree.
That was cool. So I guess that was Devil.
Devil.
Oh, wait, we didn't give ratings. What would you have rated Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1 out of 5?
Out of 5?
Mm-hmm.
I'd give it a solid 4.5.
Okay, well, I rated it 4 out of 5.
Okay.
And what about Devil out of 5?
I give that a... 3.5.
Yeah, same here. 3.5 stars.
Yeah. I'll give it better than Ebert would.
So what else is on the menu for discussion?
Movies we've seen? I did go see, I know you haven't seen it, but James Franco in 127 Hours.
Yes, and how was the movie?
That was a very... I drove over an hour with my good friend to Toronto to see that. And funny enough, Danny Boyle is the only director that I would ever drive an hour to see his films because they're always so goddamn limited, you know, despite the fact that he's a... freaking Oscar winner and everything else. And
yeah. Like Slumdog Millionaire was only playing like limited, but because the city is not that far away, it's still in like, you know, a couple of cinemas. But for me to get to town, it's 40 minutes on the train. So it's not close.
No, it ain't easy, and that's the thing. We drove like over an hour to get into the city, and then we had to walk like 3 miles to get to the actual theater. It, you know, and we did that for Slumdog Millionaire, and then it just so happens that 127 Hours was playing in the exact same theater, even the same room.
Oh, okay. Like,
you know, it was meant to be, and so we went to go see it, and wow, what a surreal experience. James Franco, what an actor he's turned into. It's
well, I've always been a very big James Franco fan.
And so have I. It's just, man, oh man, does he ever hold this movie together? It's difficult to hold, you know, a movie together for that long, you know, and he, I mean, Danny Boyle, the cinematography, and, you know, when he finally gets stuck in the situation where the boulder has trapped him, you know, there's like no music, there's nothing. It's just, you feel, as the audience member, you feel alone with him in this canyon for the entire movie. And you're just, you're in the same amount of pain as he is. You're desperate as he is. You know, I even found times where he was running out of water. Mm. I even found myself like licking my lips like I'm getting thirsty.
Yeah, when a movie can have that reaction, it, you know, they've done something good.
And it has. Like, they...
I can't wait to see this movie.
Oh, you'll love it. I'm telling you.
I'm not sure when it comes out, though.
When they say that this movie is not for the squeamish, they're not kidding.
Yeah, I... on an earlier podcast, I spoke to Sam Inglis, who runs 24 frames per second, and he and I talked about the London Film Festival, and he gave me the good points and the bad points, and 127 Hours was one of his good points, and he told me a little bit about it and just some of the things he said, and I was just like already squeamish with what he had to say.
Well, there was, I remember when we went to see it, and we were about, you know, 45 minutes early, so we jumped in line, and about 10 minutes before the screening in front of us ended, like one or two people came out of the theater and sat on the theater steps.
Wow.
And I didn't really understand why until we sat down and watched the movie and realized it was about 10 minutes before the end of the movie. We're like, oh, they left because of this scene, because it gets so bad.
Yeah.
Like, you will literally, like, I'm not very squeamish. Like, I don't mind blood. I don't mind, you know, guts and everything. It doesn't bother me. But Jesus Christ, the way Danny played the scene out and the way Franco... it just made it so real. It's like, I was gritting my teeth through the whole thing. I'm not gonna give it away, but Jesus.
Yeah, I'm not terribly squeamish. It depends what body parts are involved in certain things. Like, if somebody's getting their eye cut out, I will be just grossed out and I can't watch it.
Getting his balls chopped off.
I said eyeballs.
No, balls.
Or anything that has to do with brains grosses me out. But other than that, I can pretty much watch anything. But I think even this movie might push my limits.
Believe me, Ridley Scott killed my, my squeamishness toward brains being cut up.
Well, my experience with watching that movie, which I think I've talked about before, because I was eating this food that just started to smell really bad. That just blah. That was gross. But anyway, 127 hours. I can't currently find a release date for the movie in Australia, and I'm not impressed.
For what movie?
I cannot find a release date for Australia for 127 hours.
Oh, really? It might not reach you guys. It released a little wider the week later, but you know, it just not enough. Not enough, that's for sure. It was not Slumdog Millionaire, you know, type expansion. And
well, that movie pretty much came out at the same time as it did everywhere else for here.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't know, there's just nothing yet, and I'm not impressed.
Well, if you get a chance, if it's nearby, I think... I don't know if Franco's going to be nominated for acting. but I can pretty much guarantee that Danny Boyle will be nominated again for directing, and cinematography will also be high up.
Well, I've been hearing a lot of James Franco buzz, so hopefully that happens.
That's for sure.
And although it's just going to seem weird if he gets Oscar nominated and, you know, he's just done like a General Hospital stint. It's the weirdest thing. it's really weird.
Yeah. And Kate Mara's in the movie as well, so that's a plus.
She's one Mara that I do like.
Oh, Mara. Oh, are you correcting me now?
Oh, different accents, different pronunciations.
Potato, potato.
Exactly. But no, I do like Kate Mara.
Yes.
I don't like a certain person called Rooney Mara.
That was in a previous discussion.
Yes, but I'll just say that and end it there.
Well, we'll have to see how the girl with the dragon tattoo turns out.
Let's just say one sister got all the charisma and personality, while the other one got nothing.
Oh, are they sisters?
They are sisters.
Oh, shit. I didn't even think about it. I know they share the last name, but I had I had never even heard that they were sisters.
Yeah.
Well, one became very well endowed with amazing red hair, so, yeah. What can you do?
Yeah. So, what else do we have on the menu for today?
Porn parodies.
Porn parody.
Yep.
Are there any like actual movies that you'd like to discuss before we talk about porn parody?
I don't know, because now all I can think of is like, you know, what are the visuals going to look like for Prawn, the Tron porno? I'm like, what's going to be CGI enhanced? Like, is it going to be, you know, like who's going to play a young, you know, Jeff Bridges, you know, banging Olivia Wilde's character, or, you know, something like that. You know, how deep can my mind go into the freaking gutter?
Yeah. The movie actually, like, with the pictures and stuff that I've seen, it don't look too bad, I gotta say.
No, I know.
It's the funny thing. Like, it might actually be rather entertaining, porn aside.
Did you ever see the Avatar porn?
I saw the preview and I do not want to watch it. I mean, I know Bede is dying to watch it, but that's Bede. He has like a blue person fetish.
Well, so do I. I mean, Zoe Saldana is. But like you watch, I mean, I have seen about, you know, a quarter of it. And fuck me, I don't know how these actors don't just fucking crack up in the middle of scenes. I don't know how they do it. I'd be fucking losing it. Non-stop.
If I was like in this blue outfit, having to take my clothes off and then screwing someone, I don't know how I could keep a straight face at all.
I couldn't either. I mean, like, you got this blue guy who's like, I wish to mate. And, you know, and then, the, you know, a random blue chick just walks up and says, let me, you know, and they even speak in weird voices. Let me mate with you. Or am I? I'm sitting here. I'm like, how the fuck did something like this get funding? I'm like, how did they do it? And it is. I think it is actually the most expensive porno ever made. Avatar. I guess it has to follow tradition with the.
Yeah, possibly. Although the Tron, whatever you want to call it. Apparently they're boasting that the porn parody is going to be better than the original Tron and the new Tron Legacy.
In what way?
I don't know. I think maybe the fact that we'll get to see that all the characters have sex with each other.
Oh, okay. So that's something we definitely wanted to see in the original movie.
Well, yeah, I wanted to see, like, everybody just screwing each other in that movie.
I'm not gonna, you know, go against Olivia Wilde, you know, stripping down a little bit. But,
well, she looks pretty hot in the outfit she's in the movie.
Oh, does she ever? And I love that haircut. I don't know what it is. Normally, I'm not a fan of that, but she...
I don't know. She can
she
do it,
works
I
it.
Yeah.
So, I hope we get to see her kill a lot of guys in that movie.
I'm you know what I'm waiting for with Tron Legacy?
Bridges.
No. Well, yes, but I mean the actual like Tron Legacy movie, not the parody. There's a specific actor who I haven't seen anything.
Oh, I see. You're referring to the former Mr. Kate Beckinsale.
Yes. I think I've seen about 1 second of footage of him from the movie, which was in, I think, the first trailer.
Yeah, rocking the guitar.
Yeah, I haven't seen a picture. I haven't seen anything else. And I'm dying to know what, well, more like what he's going to look like, what his character's like. And from the reviews that I've read today, as I think the embargo must have been lifted, everyone's very positive about the Sheen.
Hmm.
So I'm really excited to see him. And, you know, he's going to be in 3D, so it would just be like me going, oh, you're trying to reach you in 3D. I mean,
please don't touch me.
I mean,
Michael
for
Sheen.
Me, that'll be like as good as like an actual porn in 3D.
Agreed.
Oh, man.
They're already doing porn in 3D, so.
Well,
yeah.
I don't want to sound like a pervert, but... I did stumble across some old, like, 70s movies that are of the naked people kind that are in 3D.
Jesus.
So they did do it, you know, 30, 40 years ago.
Oh, it's been around.
So. Just,
it sucked then and it sucks now.
I don't see the point in having it in 3D, but whatever.
You know, I think they're better off just filming them in IMAX.
Mm.
Seriously, that's the visual experience of our time.
Yeah. So
I don't know what it would be like to see a giant, you know, like 32F boobs on an IMAX screen, but...
Well, I had to see John Turturro's ass on IMAX screen. In Transformers 2.
Oh, yeah. Oh, fuck. Yeah, I forgot about that scene.
Yeah.
I felt so sorry for... Well, I actually, no, I shouldn't feel sorry for John because he accepted that film, but, you know.
I feel sorry for me for having to watch it, but, you know. That was disturbing.
Oh, Megan Fox, you couldn't save it.
No.
I'm trying to... I have faith in the third, but not much.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, I'm pretty sure that anything could be an improvement on part two, but I don't know.
Even though I didn't, I mean, two wasn't horrible. You know, I don't know. It's pretty sad when I have to tell my friend that, you know, I can't stand Shia, but seriously, he was pretty much the only thing that held that movie together.
Yeah. I don't mind Shia. I guess I didn't like him in, Indiana Jones 4 so much. I think that's about the only thing I really didn't like him in.
Yeah, I thought he was all right in it, but I don't know. Oh, that's another one I actually did see recently. Another movie, Wall Street 2.
Yeah, I saw that a couple of months ago or a few months ago.
Wasn't that impressed, to be honest.
I thought it was all right. I didn't think it was, like, amazingly good, but I didn't think it was awful. It was
Yeah, agreed. And, like, I remember sitting there, I was like, wow, this is so unnecessary. This whole movie is completely unnecessary.
I think they just kind of went in the wrong direction with what it really should have been about, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
and Charlie Sheen's, you know, cameo sucked, so.
Yeah, it should have been better. But Josh Brolin, that's what saved the movie for me.
Really?
But then again, I could watch Josh Brolin watching paint dry and just be, you know, completely interested in it.
Hey there, look at that paint dry. that there's nice paint. I'm going to have to take you in the back and screw you.
Oh, I wouldn't say no to him.
Well, I wouldn't say no to his wife, so that makes two of us.
Well, yeah, we could, I don't know, look them up and go our separate ways with their significant other.
Foursome!
Hey, that works too.
Josh and I'll just high five. No. I don't think we're going to be doing that.
Oh, God, I just got that picture in my head now, and I just got some laughing.
Hey there, man, give us some skin.
You sound more like Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, man. I don't know why I'm in the Expendable.
You sound exactly like him. It's freaky.
You ever see Condemned?
Oh, no, I didn't see it. Jesus Christ.
Every line he had to go, oh, yeah. Or, you know, some kind of southern bullshit.
Oh, my God, I can't breathe.
It's like, guy asks him, where are you from? Alaska. Where exactly in Alaska? Little town north of Anchorage. You might have heard of it. Oh, fuck your mama. It's like, Stone, you are the greatest man alive.
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
The Rock's got nothing on you.
Oh, dear God.
I do want to see Faster. But
yeah, I do as well. Just because it's The Rock and he's not in a kid's movie.
Yep, and Carla Gugino's in it.
Exactly, how can you say no to her being in anything? Although, is there a reason why she is not in Spy Kids 4?
Isn't she?
I have done my research and I cannot see her name attached to Spy Kids 4.
That's a possibility. You never know.
I mean,
I don't even know if Antonio's in it.
Antonio is in it, and Jessica Alba is in it, and I'm not sure how that's going to play out, considering how seriously she took her role in Machete.
What a useless tit she is now. Mm. Absolutely useless. Mm. I can't believe all this bullshit with her, you know, saying good actors don't follow, you know, they make up their own lines as they go, and it's like, get a fucking life, woman. like seriously, don't get a life. Get a fucking clue. You know, because they, you know, and then she said, oh, the directors didn't, you know, treat me with respect all the time. Well, no shit, honey. Who the fuck do you think you are? Like, she's just realizing now that the only reason she's in movies is because she's hot.
Mm.
And I think this is a realization that Jessica Biel also came to not too long ago, and like, wow, you just figured it out?
Yeah, well, at least, well, Jessica Biel, I don't think she shied away from nudity that much, because she did do that, like, stripper nudie movie.
Yeah, she did that, but I gotta be honest with you, it wasn't that appealing, because, like, she's always crying, and
actually showed something, whereas Jessica Alba had to be CGI'd in the nude, because she just didn't want to reveal anything.
Yeah, she's not a team player.
Hmm.
Yeah. I'm surprised Rodriguez has anything to do with her, to be honest with you.
Oh, I think he loves her, because, after Machete, I would not be hiring her again. So terrible.
I thought Machete was great. I don't get all the hate.
No, I didn't like it.
I think it's Lindsay Lohan that fucking kills it for everybody, but I just ignored her.
Yeah, I didn't really like Machete all that much.
That movie was all about Jeff Fahey.
Yeah, he was great, but I don't know. For me, the movie was probably one of the weaker things that Rodriguez has done.
Oh, yeah, well, no question. I mean,
and I did go over his entire filmography as a director to do my Dissecting the Director column.
Yes.
And
Yes.
After, going through all his movies and I'm sitting there going, you know, Machete is probably one of the worst things that he's done. Not that it's that bad, but it's definitely one of the, you know, bottom of the barrel things. But Once Upon a Time in Mexico was definitely the worst thing he's done.
I'd say the story was all over the place.
Yeah, everything was all over the place. Like, as great as Johnny Depp is, having one awesome character doesn't make a good movie.
Nope. I will pull that eye patch off and skull fuck you to death. That was probably the greatest line ever, and the fact that he was saying it to Cheech Marin was even better.
But yeah, so That's our interesting off topic discussion.
M straight, baby. That is my...
That's what we do, man.
That's what we do. That's what podcasts are for. Fuck it.
But, you know, this is the Nick and Marcy hour. So M we can straight. Do whatever we want. Now we have this 10 minutes left. This is the censored version. We have 10 minutes left. What are we going to discuss for the last 10 minutes of the hour?
We could discuss the different things that I smell in my dog's farts.
No, thank you.
Okay, because he I'll just pass. Farted again, funny enough.
I think you need to detox your poor dog.
Oh, he's... Oh, Jesus Christ. Every time we give him a... You know, I'll give him a nice bone with some nice meat on it, and he'll chew through it, and then... Funny enough, he'll never fart in private. He'll always walk in and crop dust. And then he'll take off, and he'll look at me like, what? I'm like, you stinky little fucker. Anyway...
It's like my sister's dog. He'll fart. He'll do it near somebody, but then he gets embarrassed and goes under the table in shame.
Jeez.
It's like, why do you do it in front of people if you're going to get embarrassed, you little silly dog?
Well, dogs just love being around. It's the pack leader thing. I just love
it. The pack leader. You got to be the pack leader.
Exactly. But I don't know. We can see what's coming out in December. We're looking forward to. Obviously, we've already said Tron Legacy.
Yeah. Well, I'd have to look up what's coming out in Australia for December because I don't think.
Do you guys get True Grit?
No, that's January.
Bugger.
Let me look up Australia.
I don't know if I'll see Black Swan. It came out this week, but. It's so friggin' limited that I don't think that's a movie I really want to drive over an hour to see because I feel like I'm just going to be depressed as fuck. And I'm going to regret it.
Releases for Australia for December. It's not including the week that's just been because movies come out yesterday. Thursday's the release day in Australia. So December 9th, there's Megamind. December 10th. It says The Tunnel, but I don't know if that's like a theatrical thing or what.
Tunnel. That sounds familiar.
The 16th of December, Tron Legacy, so we get it early.
Right.
Let's see, December 26th, Yogi Bear Pass.
Good God.
We've got 27th of December, The King's Speech, so that is coming out. The Tourist, and that is coming out. I wasn't aware that was going to be coming out. Little Fockers, Gulliver's Travels, and Blue Valentine. So
Little Fockers. What a fucking waste that's going to be.
So that's pretty much the only thing I'm going to be seeing is Tron Legacy.
Tron Legacy is an absolute, yep. And True Grit, for sure.
Yeah, I'll tell you what's coming out in January. We've got Tangled, Morning Glory and Somewhere. Then we've got Burlesque and Black Swan. Then we've got The Dinner.
All of those are out here.
Yeah, I know. Then we've got True Grit on the 20th of January. And then the 26th of January, which is Australia Day, we've got The Warrior's Way. So not a hell of a lot is really coming out, to be honest.
Keep passwords.
Yeah, I think the only thing I'll be seeing in December... Maybe Megamind, because that looks kind of cute. And Tron Legacy.
Looks pretty wild. Probably going to see that in IMAX for sure.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to, like, go and see it on the opening day, like, you know, 10 o'clock session, and then, like, go see it at IMAX. I don't know.
My days of going to midnight shows is long done.
Oh, I wouldn't be seeing it at midnight. I'll be going, you know, early in the morning and avoid any crowds.
I like crowds, to be honest with you. I don't know. I always like a crowded theater. But then again, we live in Canada, and people are actually pretty cool up here when it comes to...
Yeah, if you go to a movie that's, you know, will have any kind of teenagers in there, I don't want to be there because they can fuck off. Teenagers ruined the Scott Pilgrim experience for me. I need to watch it again on my own and just be able to just sit back and relax and really enjoy the movie for what it is.
I don't really know what the climate was for that up here because I didn't see it in the theater, but it, I don't know. From what I heard, there were not many people going to see it in the first place.
It was actually quite full when I saw it, but it was like a matinee screening, so it was like a cheap ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of movies that I'm going to be watching again that I really want to watch again, aside from movies I've got to watch for my next Dissecting the Director column, which is likely to kill me. I'm going to be watching The Last Exorcism again because I absolutely loved it and I really want to watch it again.
Haven't seen it yet.
I was a big fan, but a lot of that movie, I think, was, what's the actor called? Patrick Fabian, who's just this amazingly charismatic actor. And I think he really made that movie work for me, as well as specific themes in the movie. And I really want to, really want to watch, and I am going to watch The Town again.
Oh my God, that was one. I'd probably say that's in my top five movies of the year.
I'm leaning towards that as well. I loved that movie and I want to watch it again. And if I watch it again, I know that like my Jeremy Renner obsession is just going to go even more out of control than it already is.
Best supporting actor.
Seriously, please. Like when he was announced as being nominated for Best Actor at the Oscars, I completely lost it. I was so excited.
Did you cream yourself?
I pretty much did, you know. It was like such a great moment for me, and I'm like, I'm getting so excited. It's just an Oscar nomination. But it's like, it's somebody that you really wouldn't expect, even though the movie was getting a lot of, you know, awards buzz. Because he wasn't nominated for the Golden Globe, so.
I really think the only thing that made that movie stand out was him.
Yeah, like, that was the movie. Like, I had seen him in so many other movies, and it just didn't click to me that this was all the same guy. Yeah. And it wasn't until that movie, and I really took notice of him, and I'm like, Jeremy Renner, where the fuck have you been all my life? And then I looked him up, paid actual attention to what I was looking up, and I'm like, damn, I actually own movies with you in them, and I just didn't realize it was you.
Exactly. No, he was amazing in The Town. Fuck, the whole movie was just... That Ben Affleck, man.
Yeah, I mean, Ben Affleck's just...
Who would have thought?
I mean, amazing direction, amazing acting in that movie. Like, I've always been a Ben Affleck fan. But it's just really good to see him do stuff like this and really get that acclaim.
Well, I was afraid. My worst fear of The Town is that he was going to direct a great movie, but... Him starring in it scared me.
But he pulled it off, man.
Mm.
Great stuff. And
so did John Hamm.
Oh, God, John Hamm. Where's he been all my life?
He was
great.
Oh, my
God. I am in love with that man.
And then Blake Lively's cleavage was also fantastic.
And I'm pretty much in love with that, too. I love Blake Lively, but then again, I've been watching Gossip Girl since it started, and I love that movie, that show. And
I may jump off a bridge if I ever have to watch that, but you never know.
Oh my God, it's so not what people think it is, I guess.
But, that's what they told me about Jersey Shore.
Oh God, Jersey Shore.
And Snooki.
Please don't mention that.
What a fucking joke that bitch is.
But hey, oh John Hamm.
The what?
I said, but hey, John Hamm.
John Hamm. John Hamm was very cool.
He's
an asshole.
Oh my God, he's the man. He's the man.
Everybody in that movie was just an asshole.
Yeah, it's just a great movie.
It is.
And speaking of The Town, speaking of somebody who was in The Town, one Rebecca Hall.
Gorgeous.
I watched Red Riding 1974, which was the first in the trilogy, and she was in it, and I didn't know she was in it. And as I was watching the movie, I did not recognize her. She looks completely different in that movie, and I was like, whoa, shit, that was her, and amazing performance in that movie.
Every time I see her, all I can think of is Saffron Burrow. She actually looks a lot like her.
Yeah, this is very true, actually. They do kind of look similar, but in the Red Riding movie, she's got blonde hair, so she looked completely different.
Yeah.
And actually, Red Riding just completely made me fall in love with Andrew Garfield, even more than I was, like, already loving him from The Social Network.
Garfield. We'll have to see how he does in Spider-Man.
Yeah, I don't know. Just watching him in the movies, I've seen him, and I'm like, this guy is one just unbelievable actor, and I just, it's either going to be amazing in Spider-Man, or it's just not going to work. So
I have actually very little faith in the movie, but
yeah,
I seriously don't understand why they're doing it to begin with. I know everybody's argued the same point, yeah, but exactly. I will admit, though, Emma Stone...
Oh, Emma Stone.
Gwen Stacy.
Yeah, and I did see Easy A, and she was amazing in it.
I still have to see that, but I am looking forward to it.
It's a great movie. It's, I mean, people were saying it was like Mean Girls, but I don't think it was really at all like that movie. It's something else, and it's really good. But, yeah, enough about, I guess, me drooling over men and stuff.
Me drooling over women?
Yeah, we're just drooling. Might have to clean up the drool, but that is our hour is up.
I'll just drool over you now.
Yes, you can.
Big smooches.
Mwah.
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 Sean Connery.
Stop.
Blow Marshy.
Shut up. If you're going to do a Sean Connery impression, why don't you end the show for us with a Sean Connery impression?
Well, Marshy, I'd love to. You've been listening to Marshy from Australia. And also that idiot, Nick Bosworth, who I believe lives in Canada. I believe that's what I heard. But yeah, so you've been listening to The Hour with Marshy and Nick. So... take it from there, Marshy.
Sorry. Yes, until next time, that was Sean Connery. So see you later.
Bye, Marcy.